If you haven't been here, or if you're just unaware for some reason, there's a lot going on at Lake Cities this summer. The first 5 weeks, we've spent a lot of time focusing on VBS, having a lot of fun with that. That's over now, unfortunately. The teens have gone and done mission work, and they're getting ready to go to camp next week. And then after that, we've got some more kids that are going to camp again, 2 weeks of camp straight. That's going to be a lot of fun. But Jeff started off last week on a new series called The Bucket List. Several things you need to know before you live. And I think it's timely because it's summertime and there's a lot going on and there's a lot that can pass us by. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open them to Matthew chapter 10, starting in verse 5. This is the word of God for the people of God. These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, "Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and proclaim as you go, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without paying, give without pay. Acquire no gold or silver or copper for your belts, no bag for your journey, or two tunics, or sandals, or a staff, for the laborer deserves his food." Let's pray. God, thank you so much for a time for us to come here and worship you. God, I pray that our hearts would be open and that we would continue to be authentic in this worship space. God, thank you so much for another day. Give me the gift of preaching, the gift of story, and the gift of imagination. Thank you so much for your son. It's in his name we pray. Amen. So, we're talking about what it means to live an abundant life. And I'm curious as to how you all interpret that. But to me, living an abundant life means living life to the fullest. I want as much life as I can get, or as much life as I can handle. Now, I think it's safe to say that we all have different ideas of fullness. Some of us would be content to make a lot of money. Some of us would rather be just confident in the security of our families. Some of us would be ecstatic to finally score that dream job, and some of us would love to give up every possession we have to travel the world. And of course, some of these things fuse together, and we're constantly being fed images of what it looks like to have everything we ever wanted. It's in the movies. It's on the news. It's on TV. It's down our own streets. And sometimes, no matter how hard we try, we really want all of that. But most of us will never have any of those things. So instead, we long to be invited by someone who does. Now, I'm sure if we all took a moment to think, we could think of someone in our lives who has things going for them the way that we want them to. And so we live vicariously through their posts on Facebook and long for the day that we might get invited along for the ride. Now, think back with me. Think back on the first time that you heard the gospel. It may have been early in your life. It may have come later. But if we were to turn to our neighbor and try to explain to each other what the gospel really means, I'm sure that we come up with some pretty similar answers. The gospel is the good news. And the good news is that Jesus came to earth to die for people like us, sinners, so that we might spend eternity with him. And that is good news, right? Now, there's an invitation for us to join in on this good news. And most of us here have accepted that invitation, but maybe only to a certain degree. In Mark chapter 8, Jesus says, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." I think Jesus is telling us that there's an invitation waiting to be accepted and that it's freely given. Now, I don't know about you, but the invitation that Jesus is offering does not seem to be so easily accepted. In reality, it seems pretty serious. It's crucial. And here we are, discussing what we think the gospel means, and I think we're right. But I also think that it's important to remember another part of the gospel that we see Jesus preach over and over and over again. From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. And as you go, preach, saying, "The kingdom of God is at hand." And parable after parable after parable, Jesus teaches us about the kingdom of God. So, along with teaching and preaching on who Jesus is and the things he did, and talking about accepting him as your Savior, there's this very crucial piece of the gospel that we're leaving out. Luke 17:20-21 says, "Now having been questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God was coming, he answered them and said, 'The kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, look, here it is, or there it is. For behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst.'" And again, here we are, living in the midst of the kingdom. And how are we living? I remember this being a topic in our Wednesday night class last summer, that the kingdom of heaven is not some far-off fantasy adventure land. Jesus tells us over and over again that the kingdom of God is a present reality and that we have to be invited to take part in it. And if you accept this invitation to go on your dream vacation, all expenses paid, no strings attached, would you take it? I think that all of us would, because we would realize that if we didn't, we'd be passing up the opportunity of a lifetime. Now, if you did accept the invitation, what do you think you would do? Would you sit around, sleep in, stay in your hotel, check Facebook, and think about all the things that stress you out in life and want to hurry back to them? No, if we were given the opportunity to live, or live fully for a designated amount of time, I would hope that most of us would exploit every resource, every moment, every emotion and memory on the trip. I would hope that we would wake up and watch the sunrise and stay out to watch the sun set. I would hope that we would try new things and enjoy them with our friends and family. But here's the deal. We've been given everything that we could ask for. A life of abundance with no strings attached. Oh, and did you know? All expenses have been paid. So what do? We go to work to provide for our families. We pay the bills. We go to church. We say hello. And we pretend that everything is all right, even when it may not be. So now this idea of a bucket list has turned into a daily checklist of things we need to hurry up and get done so we can get home and go to bed so we can start over again tomorrow. And the cycle continues. The train goes on and on and on down the track. And guess what? This thing called life is never going to slow down. In fact, it only passes faster and faster. We all know that. The only way that we will ever be able to slow it down is by learning how to do one thing. Play. What's the only action that can take us away from all the stuff we have to get done? And in that time of stepping away, also allow us to be recharged and to take a deep breath. It's play. And here we are. I think Jesus is calling us to learn how to accept His invitation to play. Every day we grow older, and every day we're in danger of forgetting what the gospel really means. We're in danger of forgetting the first time the good news of Jesus grasped our lives in every aspect of the word. And we're in danger of letting life pass us by so fast that we never truly live in the kingdom of God, which is at our fingertips. Here we are, right now, in the kingdom. So how should we choose to live? You know, it's sad that as we grow older, we're in danger of forgetting how to play. What would you do to be able to go back and live the way that God intended for you? Would you give up the time that you have now, your memories, your experiences? Jesus says all you have to do is lay down your life and pick up your cross and follow me. But some of us have gotten caught up in this whirlwind thing called life. And along the way, we've tried to take our lives back under our control and we've set our crosses back down. And do you want to know what happens when we try to take control? We die. Because we become complacent. And we forget how to live. We always say that we will pick up our cross again someday, and then it never happens. When we do that, the opportunity of a lifetime flashes by while we sit in our hotel rooms and even our churches, and we will never truly live in God's kingdom. Peter gives us a great example of what this looks like in Mark chapter 8. Just before Jesus tells us to take up our cross, he asks his disciples who people say he is. And then he asks them who they think he is. And Peter pipes up and says, "You're the Messiah." But Jesus tells them to not tell anyone, which seems like a pretty big secret to keep. And Jesus goes on to tell them what's going to happen to him. Jesus goes on to tell them that he must suffer and be rejected, die, and be raised again in order to show the world who he is. But Peter takes him aside and decides for a moment that he knows better than Jesus. The Bible says that Peter rebukes Jesus, but to me, I think that Peter just doesn't believe that this plan is going to work. Peter only knows one way to show power, and that's through strength. So the idea of Jesus giving up his life and showing weakness doesn't make sense. And sometimes Jesus asking us to lay down our lives and pick up our cross doesn't really make sense either. And neither does the idea of God's kingdom being a present reality. Like Peter, we have a really hard time believing these things because we can't see how they could possibly work. So in turn, we try to take matters into our own hands. The only thing Jesus wants us to do is play. Because that means we're willing to trust Him. I'd give anything to go back to my childhood, where things seemed so easy and the world was new, and you know what? There was a lot of time to play. It was encouraged even. But now, as I've grown older and as you grow older, play has been pushed to the side to be forgotten or to be viewed as a childish action. But I'm not just talking about recreation. Playing means so much more than that in the kingdom of God. It means we are willing to engage in the life we have been given, that we will exploit every resource, emotion, and experience, and that we are willing to truly live this abundant life and walk humbly with our God. To me, play is not just an action, but learning how to play means that we're willing to lay down our lives and trust that God will provide and lead us through this life on earth. Playing gets harder and harder to do as we age. But just in case you've forgotten how, there are a lot of people in this building who can teach you again. They may be loud, a little bit boisterous, a bit overbearing or outgoing, but I'm telling you, they're deep wells to be tapped into. Throughout my life, I've been reminded that I need to be an example for children. But I've come to learn that in order for me to follow Christ, I should be watching the little children. Working with them here this summer has brought me more life than you could ever know. Because I enjoy learning from them what it really means to live. Matthew 18 says, "At that time the disciples came to Jesus saying, 'Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?' And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, 'Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven.'" We've been given this invitation that we've always wanted, to live a life that's full and free and full of life. What we have to do is stop trying to create this life for ourselves. The fact is, we'll never learn how to live fully on our own, and we have no power over that. So we have to quit manipulating what we've been given, and we have to quit taking it for granted. Jesus wanted people to understand that the opportunity that they've always wanted was right in front of them. He longs for us to finally live into this life that we have committed to. As a church, we have to quit allowing ourselves to come here of all places, putting on a face, saying that everything is always just, "I'm fine, how are you?" What would our church look like if we were to actually come here and live into God's kingdom? Instead of trying to get out of here as fast as we can, what would it look like if we actually shared with one another what God was doing in our lives, especially when those things involve heartbreak and pain and loss? That's what learning how to play looks like. It means that we know that we cannot live full lives all on our own. Instead, it means that we're committed to walking alongside each other through our struggles and our victories. What would the world look like if we decided to invite people outside the doors to come play with us? Not just to say that everything's going to be perfect and great after they come and hang out with us and learn about Jesus, but rather if we would commit to walking alongside the people who hurt outside the doors. All that we have to do is remember how to play. If you need anything this morning, the elders and their wives will be at the back. But seriously, if you need anything, if you need prayer, go back and pray with them. If you need to hurt, go back and hurt with them. If you long to rejoice with Jesus that you've been given a new life, then go and rejoice with them. Don't just check today off the list. Instead, remember how to play as we sing.